This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
The very handsome Jewish man, Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Can I just say one thing, Don?
Sure.
You're not Don.
It stands,
but it's
Don.
Not!
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hey. Hello. Good evening and welcome to ENN.
Ray Rowe.
I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Guardians against the Bears.
It's a tough one. Good evening to Don.
I did like science more than math, but I detested them both.
Anthony, you've been sitting on that one all day. You knew you had a good one.
Well,
there,
no,
didn't
that's,
you?
That's
you knew you had
this a good is where one. These get played. And again, I like to explain myself. I understand that word does not exist. It just came out of my mouth wrong.
How dare you? And good evening, Don.
North if I want to do a show in Des Moines, I'll move and then kill myself.
I'll say good evening to myself.
What you need is an old-time manager who doesn't take any nonsense.
I love it. Like those, whoever said that does not have their own teeth.
I did like science more than math, but I detested them both.
And has a cigar the size of a baby's arm.
Oh, yeah, that was, you saw my face. I had made the room for the cigar. And you know what I like to say when I say good evening to myself? Good evening, Peter.
Don't play that game.
Oh,
we're all in a great week.
Sorry. I'm not the best, but I did have a good week.
I'm still number one.
I'm not number one. I was number one for the week.
I love how we play this game, and here we are through 6 weeks. Michael, 20 points, you 19, and me 18. I mean, nobody's running away with this.
I would say no. Michael acted like, I know, he acts immediately like it's over. There's no way of knowing where this is going to land until someone gets like a lead of 10 or more.
Yeah.
It's basically in play.
I mean, we've got 11 weeks left of the season, plus postseason.
Why? Yesterday, I got to tell you guys, I had the best thing happen to me with regard to the picks.
What's that?
I knew I'd hit my Giants pick. I was obviously feeling really
good
about
that. That was never really in question.
Right. Felt good all day.
Unless you got a backdoor cover.
Right.
But otherwise, you were in pretty good shape.
Felt pretty good all day. And they went out, right? And the whole time, I thought you guys both picked the Jets.
Oh, yeah.
And then I saw you both pick the Packers, and I was thrilled.
You should be.
Why did you guys pick the Packers? You thought it was just a bounce-back spot for them?
Well, yeah, because even talking to Steve Young, said, you know, this is a team with credibility. They just lost to the Giants, tough loss. I couldn't wrap my mind around them winning in Lambeau. I'm getting Jet fans, you know, I should eat crow. Did anybody really expect them to win? Maybe cover. But to win was a surprise. And to win by the final score of 27-10, that's pretty significant. But the thing I'm kicking myself over is that I should have made that my one-point play because I love the Bills in Kansas City. So once Michael went KC, I should have adjusted and made it my two-point play. Mm-hmm. But I did pick up a point. I felt good about it. But I really could have been tied.
And I love Buffalo. We were very
well,
good.
Well, yeah, and it kind of went the way I thought.
Yep. Exactly. It would come down to possession.
They're kind of close, but clearly one's on the ascend and the other one's on the descent. Like, we're talking about this being a great rivalry for many years. If it's not, it's going to be because Kansas City
falls off. But falls I wouldn't off. Say they're on the descent either. I think
they're not as good as I don't.
They're not as good as Buffalo. They're a tick worse than Buffalo, but they're damn good.
But would I be surprised if they don't go back to a Super Bowl? No, I would not.
Yeah, well, it's been a few years already. Listen, this is the window in the NFL is not.
And Buffalo better get on the horse here. I mean, they're not going to be there forever either, but we've seen this coming. It's time. It's time for this team to go to a Super Bowl and win it.
All right, let's stay with football, and we'll get to some Yankees as well. We had Robert Saleh on the program earlier, speaking of the aforementioned Jets-Packers game. And we asked him, should people look at this team differently at this point after the wins they're putting together?
That's more for you guys. I know the messaging. I know what we believe. The focus is finding ways to get better. We got to go to a Denver team that beat the brakes off us last year. And yes, they have a new coach and a new quarterback, but for the most part, it's the same football team. And so there's a lot of different things that we've got to be able to prove to ourselves. And the only way we can do that, the best chance we have to proving that is by preparing day in and day out and understanding that we haven't done anything.
We also asked Robert Saleh about the Elijah Moore comments after the game, complaining about not being targeted.
He, without sin, cast the first stone, right? I don't think he's malicious. at all. We're all entitled to mistakes. I know where his heart is. I know how he is on this when he walks in the building. I know how hard he works. I know how good of a teammate he's been. And, you know, sometimes mistakes happen, but I know where his heart is, and that's the most important thing. And I know he'll show up here today, tomorrow, and even Wednesday, and he'll continue to put his head down, work his tail off, and find ways to create separation and find ways to help elsewhere and find ways to keep going until the production comes. So I'm not overly concerned about Elijah. He's a great young man, and I think anyone who knows him would tell you the same.
Well, much like Boone's response, both could be true. You could be a hard worker. You could care.
Yep.
But still be out of line for what you said. So I like the fact that Salah said, hey, he made a mistake. He acknowledged that a mistake was made, but give the kid a break. Let's not rake him over the coals here. He's still a good kid, still works hard, all that. But I think both could be true. I think sometimes we look at divas as lazy.
Mm-hmm.
No, they're maybe closer to selfish. Because you could be selfish, Peter, and still work hard and want to do well. But are you all in as a team player when you're telling the media you wanted to be targeted more, when the leading receiver had two catches?
That's
you won the game by 17 points in Lambeau. Take the win. Take the W.
Yeah, it's not. Like McLaurin brought up earlier this year, not being as involved in the offense as he would have liked, but it came after a game which they lost and the offense was terrible.
Even that's not great because, right, again, you're worried about yourself. You want to help.
Well, yeah.
So everybody contributes to the win. Everybody contributes to the loss. But when you start saying you need to target me more, then you're kind of throwing your quarterback under the bus, or your offensive coordinator, and you start pointing fingers, it's not good. But you're right. It's a lot better after a loss.
Well, no, and there's a way to take it yourself, too. There's a way to make it on yourself. I need to find a way to get myself open. Yeah. I need to. But there's a way to do it.
But that's what you're taking from, you know, the biggest win the Jets have had, like, literally in 5 years. And the thing you're talking about is how you didn't contribute more?
Jets also, by the way, over the last 2 weeks now, 40-point differential, which is pretty incredible.
And not nobody. I mean, I really don't know where Miami right now is without Tua.
Not great, but still.
It's a Dolphin. They have not been favored in games so far this year. The Jets have been an underdog in all six games they've played, and they're 4-2. So not only have they covered in four of the six games they've played, they won outright. I mean, that's impressive.
What did Miami do yesterday? They lost to Minnesota?
That's right.
Yeah, Minnesota.
One of the picks I got right on my cover five, a disaster in my cover five.
24-16, Minnesota now 5-1.
They're kind of a paper tiger too to me, but who's winning that division, right? Right now, all right, I'm asking you, Peter, straight out, who's winning the Central?
Minnesota.
Or whatever, North or whatever.
I at this moment, I'm sorry, Ballard. I at this moment, based on what I've seen of the Packers over the last couple of weeks, and for the record, they play my Commanders, my Commies this weekend. If they lose three in a row and it's to the Commies, it's outright tailspin time. Let's just be real.
Yeah.
But based on what I've seen so far, I don't believe their offense gets it together. I think the loss of Davante Adams will prove to be a huge, huge deal for this team as the season goes on.
And at this stage of his career, same thing with Tom Brady, what's going on, right? You lose Gronk again, although this idea that Gronk's going to keep coming back, that may not happen. New coaching staff, all that, or new head coach anyway, that at 45 years old might be a little bit too much. A younger Tom, a younger Aaron can probably compensate for the losses. But now, at their stage of their career, especially Brady, I just feel like Brady's going to regret coming back. He could have walked away with a great come-from-behind moment against the Rams, a game they lost, but still it wasn't on him, a team that went on to win the Super Bowl. Certainly no disrespect there. Walk away, done, march into the Hall of Fame in 3 years to now what could very well be just an awful season. I mean, who's winning that division, though? Certainly not going to be the Panthers.
I back to the North, though. Not only do I like Minnesota winning the division, but I'll tell you this, Don. They may be a paper tiger, or however you describe them, but if they have a great year and their offense is clicking, it's not a building you love to go play a playoff game in.
Oh, no.
Like, they could end up being sort of a tough out if they have a solid year.
No, it could be. And really, outside of Philadelphia, and even Philadelphia to a certain extent. I mean, they're 6-0, and they look like they're one of the best teams in football. But are you ready to say they are? I mean, they're 6-0, so you can't ignore. You are what your record says you are. But does Philadelphia look like a team that's going to go 14-3, 15-2?
They're the last undefeated, right?
Yeah, I don't think there's anybody else undefeated. All right, but so if that's the best the conference has to offer, which is a big surprise. Now, I think Dallas will be hurt when Dak comes back.
When Dak comes back, they will be in the conversation.
All right. And Steve's right. Green Bay will play better. They might have dug themselves a big hole, but they'll play
better.
Well,
it's not a big hole. They're 3-3.
You know, I don't know what to make of the West, right? I mean, San Francisco, it's any given day. Seattle's playing over their head. I don't think that's going to last.
It's a good point. I did not see San Francisco getting whooped yesterday. That was not what I envisioned.
Arizona just traded with the Panthers.
To get Robbie Anderson.
For Robbie Anderson. But the Cardinals are a mess.
Absolute mess.
So the Rams look like they're going to easily win that division. So when you start talking about wild cards in the NFC.
Yeah, but Don, you say that, but the Rams are sitting at 3-3. The Cardinals are 2-4. I mean, we are. This season is so long, though. I'm just saying, the ebbs and flows of a football season. One of the teams that's down right now, there's a 2-4 team that will be in the conversation at the end of the year. Well, there's no doubt. One or two will be in the conversation.
You just don't want to dig yourself too big of a hole.
No,
and certainly the Cardinals have not done that since they're just a game out, but it has not looked good. Questions about the quarterback, certainly the coach as well, Green Bay, but they're all within striking distance, right? Dallas, too. Dallas has more than survived without Dak.
I think that's one of the most impressive stories in the league all year.
I hate to say it, but it's true.
Quinnen Williams, after the Jets game, talking about how much of a statement win this was for this team.
I don't think it was a statement or anything like that. I think we were just coming in and doing our jobs, playing football on Sunday. I think as a unit, as a team, especially on defense, our biggest thing was just executing and communicating week in and week out that we always preach. We know our downfall is communicating and executing. So every single week, we try to execute and communicate to the best of our abilities every single down. And I feel like when we execute and communicate 100%, all 11 on the field doing the same thing, we're a great defense.
Yeah, communication's been important. Everybody knows where they are. That's why I wish Saleh would get a little bit more credit for where the Jets are. It seems like the Giants, it's all about the coaching, and the Jets, it's all about their talent.
I know. It feels a little unfair.
And maybe we're underrating the Giants' talent a little bit. But I still think they're overachieving because of the coaching. And the Jets, I think, are a much more talented team. But Saleh deserves credit for where they are.
I know. I actually do feel a little bad for Saleh in that regard.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Let's go to Brian Daboll, the man who gets all the credit on the resiliency of his Giants offense.
Yeah, and it's something we've preached since day one, since we've been here. Coaches, people in the building. This league is hard. It's not always going to be perfect. There'll be a lot of people down on you. You might be down on yourself. Wish you could do better. Keep on getting back up. You keep on swinging. Keep on competing, regardless of the score or the situation of the game. And that's not easy to do, right? You know, that's not easy to do when you're down and, you know, to sit on a bench and start playing. And that's easy to do. It's hard to stick with it. Get ready to play the next series and not worry about if you just got beat on a pass or if you got sacked. You got to flush it pretty quick.
Flush it.
And I flush it. I flush it.
It shows you how great winning is. Because if the Giants were 1-5, we'd be like, Daboll's too much with the coach speak. He's giving you a lot of generic rah-rah stuff. He did it at camp, you know, but you're 5-1, so you don't care.
We didn't get any of Robert Saleh's favorite phrase today.
What, receipts?
No, what is it? Something to something, time to...
Time on task.
Time on task. We didn't get a TOT today.
And maybe it applied more than ever on Sunday.
Here's
guests are whack.
Daniel Jones on whether he shocked the team is 5-1.
We're not shocked. No, we're not shocked that we find ways to win. I think we're We're confident in what we can do, and we're confident in our toughness, our ability to compete and find ways to win down the stretch. So, no, we're not shocked. I think we understand there's a lot still out there for us. There's a lot, you know, we got to work to improve on, but no, we're not shocked.
By the way, I love it. I hear the little chuckle because, of course, they're not shocked. Just want to be clear. We are. Okay. Everyone's shocked. Everyone.
Well, you can't say that, though.
What? No, of course.
Daniel Jones can't.
He gave the exact right answer. I'm just here to tell you the truth. Everyone is shocked. And I would imagine Brian Daboll's pretty damn surprised as well.
Also want to give a shout out to Mario, Lyft driver on the Grand Central, listening to us.
Oh, sounds like a great guy.
I agree. Mario's a nice name. It's not Marco, but it's close.
What do you mean? It's the name of the greatest hockey player who ever lived. Second greatest hockey player
Wayne,
ever lived.
Bobby.
No, I said second. I think second's just fine.
Second's fine. I'm with you on second.
Although, I saw a stat the other day about Sid Crosby, who you'll agree when it's all said and done is going to be a top 10 player of all time, right?
Sure. Might be already.
Might already be there. Someone sent me a stat on what Gretzky had point-wise at this age. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's not even close.
I think he's double.
Yeah, it's...
It's absolutely... I don't know if there'll ever be a player again that dominates their sport to the degree that Gretzky dominated hockey.
I mean, I say it all the time. Take all of his goals away, all 894, the most in the history of the sport. He's still the leader in points. Just on assists.
It's
nobody has. I mean, really, maybe, and I guess it's under circumstances with the PEDs, but, you know, Barry's run, Barry Bonds.
But it wasn't nearly as long.
No, but right, that's what I'm saying.
I was going to say Wilt. I think Wilt would be probably the comp. A guy who averaged 50 points a game for a season.
Yeah.
Like, Wilt Chamberlain maybe dominated
but
the game.
But to happen again? No, I don't think in any sport as great as LeBron or Jordan, as great as right now Connor McDavid is, or... You know, KD in basketball right now. No.
All right, let's stay a little bit more NFL.
Do it.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to take a break from the NFL for 2 seconds. We'll go back to it.
Interesting.
Well, we got to talk Yankees for a minute.
Quite the pivot.
Yeah, that was a pivot. I don't want to forget about the Yankees. They're playing tonight, Don, in case you're aware. It's a pivotal game 5.
Well, we're hoping,
yeah,
anyway.
Winner takes all situation.
Is that right?
Yeah, here's Garrett Cole asked about Naylor's rocking the baby and saying, "You're my son" celebration last night.
Yeah, whatever. It's cute.
That's a great response. Yeah. It really is.
Whatever. It's cute.
Jameson Taillon on preparing for this big game 5.
At the end of the day, it's just about executing my pitches to my areas, and that's as simple as I can try to keep it. So look at the scouting reports, figure out where my safe areas are to go, and just attack those with my best stuff. That's kind of what my game plan is going to be. I'm not going to have anything in mind other than just attacking with my best stuff to my best areas, bullpen or starter. That's kind of something that carries over to both jobs.
Yeah, you know what music needed to be played under that? We need to have this ready. I think we used to have it in the system. We need the Revenge of the Nerd song music to even be playing under that. I've never heard someone describe their plan in a more nerdy approach than that was.
Oh, they bump, 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 bump. But from, oh, yeah.
The performance song.
Oh, it's definitely there.
That we used to play it all the time,
all
we?
The time whenever people got analytics.
That's it. Wow, it's been a long time.
So here we go. I don't know if you want to go through it again. Go ahead.
At the end of the day, it's just about executing my pitches to my areas, and that's as simple as I can try to keep it. So look at the scouting reports, figure out where my safe areas are to go, and
safe
just
areas.
Attack those with my best stuff. That's kind of what my game plan is going to be.
Let me say this right now. Is there a sport that has more cringe like language than baseball? The worst example being the fact that people legitimately say punchies is sickening. It's absolutely repulsive.
This is going to get me in a lot of trouble with baseball fans.
Go ahead.
Two hot takes. Number one, of the four major sports in North America, the nerd of the four is baseball. Can we agree on that?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
And if the other three sports existed and somebody came up with the idea of baseball today, they'd say, no, we're good. You got to go back to the drawing board.
Not a good enough sport.
It's got the history behind it, but there's so many things you'd want to change. You know, the length of game, how many games are played. It's the pace. You watch the pace. And listen, there's so much involved. And I still love it because I grew up on it. You watch a football game, you watch a hockey game, you watch a basketball game, and then you turn on a baseball game. It's just at a different pace. It's leisurely. It's long. It's
a wild coyote.
A lot exciting things happen on occasion.
No, during the playoffs, it gets manageable. But prior
they give you a bat, and the bat is for to hit the ball.
Back to the football. Here's Tom Brady after the Bucs loss on why they lost.
Well, we didn't do well in the red area, first of all. We didn't do good. We were second to go on the one, and we didn't do a good job there. We had other red area opportunities. We didn't do a good job there. Now, we had opportunities on third and short to extend drives. We didn't do well there. So it doesn't matter, you know, who you're playing. If you're not making the plays, then it doesn't matter if it's the Steelers or the Chiefs or the Packers or the Saints. It's you either make the plays or you don't. It's a production business.
Ryan Clark on Get Up talking about where Brady's at right now.
If we're going to sit on this set and consistently talk about how throughout Tom Brady's career, nothing has ever been more important than football, then we have to sit here today and say that's not the same anymore. We have to sit here today and say that has changed. We have to sit here today and say that has changed because Tom Brady has shown us that it's different. Tom Brady has shown us it's okay to miss double-digit days in training camp as my team prepares for the season. Tom Brady has shown us it's okay to not be at the Saturday morning meetings and walk through because my former owner and my friend is getting married on Friday night.
Now listen, I agree with everything Ryan just said there.
Yes.
Right? He nailed it.
Yes.
I also understand on a human level, let me be clear, as someone who went through a divorce while trying to work, it was the worst time in my life. It was an utter nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. Tom Brady's a machine. I get it. We can't relate to him. He's worth hundreds of millions of dollars. But at the end of the day, he's a human through a really weird period. And to your point, Don, the mistake was him even trying to come back again.
That's where the arrogance to me came from. Because let's not make it seem like all of this just happened in week four. This was a guy trying to make it work, knowing that his marriage was on the rocks, knowing that there were a lot of extenuating circumstances that would affect him. He still thought he could do it, Peter.
He did.
Remember, he went into the season. There were going to be certain days off for him to be able to do his financial problems. He still put football ahead. So he doesn't have a kick coming to me. Things happened during the course. You went through your situation, Peter. It wasn't while you were going through it, decide to add more onto your plate and then complain that you can't handle it.
I have to add a news update, breaking news. Game 5 will not start on time tonight. We do not have the official time yet. But it will not be 7:07. So
had a feeling.
So, if you're going to the stadium, slow down.
Lock yourself into Rangers Ducks. Rangers are a heck of a team.
That's right.
Ray Rowe.
And I think you'll be okay at 8:30 for Broncos Chargers. But you know what I mean, Peter, right?
I do.
In the middle of what everything you were going through, decided to take on another job. And then midway through that job, it's like, I'm having trouble handling. Well, why did you take on the other job? He knew the entire office. He was retired.
I wonder sometimes, by the way, you know, we all think we know the story of what happened with them, right? Like, everyone's told this very basic story of, like, Giselle obviously didn't want to play football anymore. He wanted to play. He wouldn't give it up. And then he came back after retiring. And they got divorced. We have no idea, though.
No, we don't know.
It could have been the exact opposite, Don. He may have come back because the marriage had fallen apart. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to go back and play football then.
Yeah, but the fact that he wanted certain days off kind of gave the indication, at least to me,
that he was trying
that he knew that it was going to be very difficult to juggle both.
And that's what it felt like.